Very good morning, children. Today I am going to teach the lesson Nationalism in India from class 10 history in module 2/4. In this we are going to see the subunit term non-cooperation movement. Already we have seen in module number 1/4 from 1917 to 1947, the freedom struggle movement was dominated by Mahatma Gandhi, hence that period came to be known as Gandhian era. During that time, Mahatma Gandhi introduced two mass movements. What were they? One is non-cooperation movement, second one civil disobedience movement. So in this now we are going to see non-cooperation movement. The non-cooperation movement was started in 1921 under the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi. It was a mass movement, and it was a non-violent Khilafat non-cooperation movement. And this movement had two aims. They were, number one, to redress the wrong things done to the people of Punjab and Turkey. Second one, attainment of Swaraj. Mahatma Gandhi, in his famous book Hind Swaraj, in the year 1909, declared that British rule was established in India with the cooperation of Indians. And the British government had survived only because of this cooperation. If Indians refused to cooperate, British rule in India would collapse within a year and Swaraj would come. Therefore, Mahatma Gandhi started the non-cooperation movement. Now, what were the causes? Are the reasons for starting the non-cooperation movement? Though it had many reasons, I have listed some of the causes. The First World War started from 1914 and came to an end in the year 1918. During that 5 year, almost all the countries, not only the warring nations, it affected the other countries also. India was one among them. It added to the misery of the Indian people: heavy taxes, high prices, famines and epidemics made people's life miserable. Next one, the Rowlatt Act. It invited large-scale protests throughout the country. Jallianwala Bagh massacre and the injustice done to Punjab made the people of India angry. Muslims became unhappy due to the ill treatment of the Khalifa of Turkey. So they started the Khilafat movement. Many sections of the Indian society suffered considerable economic distress. In the towns, workers and artisans, the middle class, had been hit by high prices and shortage of food and essential commodities. On the other side, the rural poor and the peasants were victims of widespread drought and epidemics. The British were unmindful to these developments. So the Congress at Nagpur in 1920 adopted Gandhiji's idea of non-cooperation. Now, this non-cooperation movement, it was proposed in many stages. What are they? Let us see. First one, renunciation of titles. That is surrendering of titles. Whatever titles were given by the British government to the Indians to honor their services, those titles were surrendered. Subramanya Iyer and Rabindranath Tagore renounced the honorary title, Sir, that they received from the British. Gandhiji returned his Kesari Hind Medal. And number two, resigning of important jobs. Many officers resigned their jobs. Then third one, boycott of legislatures. Many people refused to cast vote when the elections to the legislatures were held. It was followed by the boycott of schools and colleges, law courts, etc. And the last but not the least, non-payment of taxes. This was a powerful method of fighting against an oppressive government. They were not ready to recognize the government legitimate. Over a period of time, this movement became a mass movement. How did it become a mass movement? Let us see from the following. Non-cooperation movement was launched under Mahatma Gandhiji's leadership in 1920. It aimed at protesting against the injustices done to Punjab and Turkey and to attain Swaraj. Educated middle class, they led the movement in towns and cities. Educational institutions, law courts and foreign goods were boycotted. Councils elections were boycotted in all provinces except Madras, where the Justice Party of the Brahmins contested. Peasants organized movements against talukdars and landlords in villages under the leadership of Baba Ramchandra. Tribal people started an armed struggle against the British in the Gudam Hills of Andhra Pradesh under the leadership of Alluri Sitaram Raju. Workers in the plantations of Assam started a struggle to get the right to free movement. Chauri Chaura incident forced Gandhiji to call off the non-cooperation movement. Now, let us see the effects of the non-cooperation movement, particularly on the economic front. The effect or effects of non-cooperation movement on the economic front were more dramatic. You see, foreign goods were boycotted, liquor shops picketed, and foreign clothes burnt in huge bonfires. The import of foreign cloth halved between 1921 and 22, and its value dropping from rupees 102 crores to 57 crores. In many places, merchants and traders refused to trade in foreign goods or finance foreign trade. As the boycott movement spread and the people began discarding imported clothes and wearing only Indian ones, production of Indian textile mills and handlooms went up. Now we are going to see about the differing strands within the movement, within the non-cooperation movement. First, let us see the movement in the towns and cities. Educated middle class led the movement in towns and cities. Educational institutions and law courts were boycotted. Council elections were boycotted in most provinces, except Madras, where the Justice Party felt that entering the council was one way of gaining power. Foreign clothes and other goods were burnt in bonfires. People began to use khadi clothes. Government servants resigned their jobs and liquor shops were picketed. Next slide, we are going to see why did the non-cooperation movement slow down in towns and cities. It is because of many reasons, but I have listed here two reasons. One is people boycotted foreign clothes. Now here they had to depend on khadi clothes, but khadi clothes were very costly, so the poor were not able to buy them. Number one. Second one, Indians boycotted British institutions. like law courts, educational institutions and other. But alternative institutions did not come up or came only a very few. So consequently, teachers and children started going back to schools and lawyers started going back to their offices. Now, let us see what were the causes for the peasant movements in the countryside or villages. Peasant movement. In Awadh particularly, it is also known as Aud. A peasant's movement was organized by Baba Ramchandra. He was against landlords and talukdars. So naturally, this movement also was against landlords and talukdars. And they had many demands, but two were main demands. The two main demands are reduction of rent and the abolition of beggar. In many places, Nai Dobi Bans were organized by panchayats to deprive the landlords the services of even barbers and washermen. In June 1920, Jawaharlal Nehru began going around the villages in and around Awadh, talking to the villagers and trying to understand their grievances. By October, the Awadh Kisan Sabha was set up, headed by Jawaharlal Nehru, Baba Ramchandra and few others. Within a month, over 300 branches had been set up in the villages around the region. Now, I have given a slide with small information about Baba Ramchandra. In Awadh, the peasants were led by Baba Ramchandra. He was actually a sannyasi and he had earlier been to Fiji as endangered laborer. Endangered means what? A contract laborer. He led a peasants movement in Awadh against talukdars and landlords. He demanded reduction of rent and abolition of beggar and the boycott of landlords. In October 1920, he formed Awadh Kisan Sabha with the help of Jawaharlal Nehru. Now let us see the tribal movements. The tribal movements were many, but now we are going to see a tribal movement of Andhra Pradesh. In the Gudam Hills of Andhra Pradesh, the tribals started a movement under the leadership of Alluri Sitaram Raju. Tribals wanted to get back their traditional rights over forests. The British government, through the Forest Acts, banned the entry of the tribal people into the forest. So, the tribal people lost their livelihoods. So, they wanted to get back the traditional rights over the forest from the British. The methods followed by the tribals and the peasants were against the Gandhian method of non-violence. They followed violent methods of struggle. Now I have given a small sketch of Alluri Sitaram Raju. He led a movement of the tribal people in the Gudam Hills of Andhra Pradesh. Many people considered him as an incarnation of God. They believed that he had many special powers. He supported Mahatma Gandhi and asked his followers to wear khadi and stop drinking. But he organized an armed struggle against the British. He also asserted that India could be liberated only by the use of force, not non-violence. At the end, Raju was captured and executed in 1924. And over time, he became a folk hero. Now, let us see the movement in the plantations. Workers in the plantations of Assam demanded the right to move freely in and out of the estates. They opposed the Inland Immigration Act of 1859, which took away the right to free movement. When they heard about the non-cooperation movement, they moved to their villages. They thought that Gandhi Raj was coming and everyone would be given land in their villages. However, they were caught on the way and brought back to the plantations. Now, see, in the next slide, we are going to see about the withdrawal of the non-cooperation movement. Why did Mahatma Gandhi withdraw the non-cooperation movement? Non-cooperation movement was a big success. Lakhs of people involved in this. Suddenly, in the year 1922, in many places, the non-violent non-cooperation movement turned into a violent movement. In February 1922, in Chauri Chaura, in Uttar Pradesh, people turned violent and set fire to a police station. 22 policemen were killed in this incident. This incident saddened Mahatma Gandhi. The non-violent non-cooperation movement turned into a violent movement because of this incident. So Mahatma Gandhi was not happy. So he decided to call off the movement. The movement slowed down in urban areas. So Mahatma Gandhi thought that it was necessary to train the people in non-violent satyagraha. Now let us see the significance of the non-cooperation movement. Non-cooperation movement was a large-scale mass movement. It attracted common people from all social groups. This movement and the Khilafat movement went together. So they promoted Hindu-Muslim unity, which was the need of the hour. Peasants and tribal movements became a part of Indian national movement. It was a non-violent movement, so it popularized the Gandhian idea of non-violent satyagraha. Let me give you some examples to prove that the term Swaraj means different things to different people. The term Swaraj means self-rule or dominion status for the Congress people. Self-rule means, or Swaraj means what? Self-rule or dominion status. That is, not freedom, but self-rule under the British government. It is the type of government granted by the British in other self-governing colonies of Australia and Canada. To peasants in Awadh, Swaraj means reduction in tax, abolition of beggar or forced labor, and social boycott of oppressive landlords. To plantation workers in Assam, Swaraj means right to move freely in and out of the plantations where they were enclosed and retaining a link with the village from which they had come. To the tribal peasants of the Gudam Hills of Andhra Pradesh, Swaraj meant right to enter forest and collect forest products, graze cattle, and give up forced labor. In support of the period from 1920 to 1947, I have given a map which gives details about all the important Congress sessions and the place where Congress withdrew the non-cooperation movement. That's all for you. Thank you.